It is interesting, instructive for us too, in realizing this mighty man of wealth, referring to the Lord Jesus, when he will come and he will take possession of all that is his rights. And you know, there's four titles on which the Lord takes all things in his control and hands. He is the Son of God. He is the man of God's counsels. And as such, all will be given to him. He is the Son. And as the Son, he is the heir of all things. He is the Creator. And as the Creator, all things are his. But all of these things, if he took title on that, of the days of the kingdom to come, you and I would be left out. There'd be none to join him. But he's also the kinsman redeemer. And that is where we have been brought in to these blessings that are now all secured by him. The other, and it's been touched on, I don't want to repeat, but just maybe to help clarify, give us an understanding, really, that this other kinsman that Boaz knew, who was really first in line of a closer relative, is our natural ties are closer than the ones that we have in Christ now. And in the natural ties, according to the law, has been pointed out, there was another kinsman, and Boaz knew that. He was first in line. So the law was given first before grace came in. But what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh, God has done in the sending of his Son. And he, that wondrous mystery, God manifest in flesh, coming here in his wondrous grace. So the law could only require of man. The very fact that man was told by the law that he should love God proved that he didn't. You don't have to be told to love your wife when you're just married, you know, and you're deeply in love. Everybody can see it and everybody knows it. But the thing is here, they had to be told, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy mind. Why tell them that? Because that's very contrary to us. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself? Impossible. And so here is where really the weakness of the law comes in, because it's weak because of our flesh. The law wasn't in itself weak. It is righteous. It is holy. It is just. But it was addressed to man in the flesh. And then it breaks down. The flesh has broken down. And so this kinsman redeemer, the law, could not come in to help. But now it says there in verse 6 of chapter 4, and the kinsman said, I cannot redeem it for myself, lest I mar mine own inheritance. Now, I'm going to make a comment what I believe that refers to. Others can always correct me. That's the privilege of having a meeting conference like this. But what he says, I mar mine own inheritance. See, he also had inheritance rights in the land to possess it here. And obviously, he had heirs. Now, if he would give birth, be the father of Ruth, bringing it, of Obed, and bringing children into this world to give to Obed, well, he couldn't give that to Obed. If he did that, he would lose his own inheritance, because it was linked with his line, his family. And so the natural is first, Scripture says that. Then comes the spiritual. The first man was first, then the second man. These principles are so beautiful as they're portrayed to us in Scripture, and we're associated as to God's man, the man of God's counsels, the second man, the last Adam, and that he is the last Adam in resurrection. And so here we're linked with him in all of the blessings that are secured, and there is the rest. I had my Bible open to the passage in Matthew 11, and also was thinking of that one in Chronicles, where you have the passage where Uzzah, where the oxen stumbled, and then We have that two chapters apart in 1 Samuel, and it's very instructive when we read that account there, and I'm not going to go and read it now, just refer you to it, but in 1 Samuel 15, 16, somewhere. Or is that 2 Samuel. Here in, Chronicles. It is in 1 Chronicles. That's the passage I was referring to. And in chapter 13. In chapter 13, in verse 9, we read, and when they came unto the threshing floor of, here's a different name given him, Chidon, Uzzah put forth his hand to hold the ark, for the oxen stumbled. And then we found the anger of the Lord against it. And David was very, very disturbed. He was very grieved at this. What has God done? And so the ark remained in the house of Obed-Edom. But then what we find, the second time, and is in chapter 15. And in chapter 15, verse 11, and David called for Zadok and Abiathar, and so on, verse 12, and he said to them, ye are the chief of your fathers, sanctify yourselves, both you and your brethren, that ye may bring up the ark of the Lord God of Israel into the place prepared for it. For because we did it not at the first, the Lord our God made a breach upon us, for we sought him not after the due order. After the due order. What happened in between these two events? There were two conflicts with the Philistines. And in the first time, he asked, shall I go against these? And the Lord answered him, yes, you shall go. Then he asked, will you give them into my hand? Yes, I will give them into your hand. He learned dependence, or I would say obedience. First time, he had to learn obedience. That's what he had failed in this. Then the Philistines come back again, the same way, in the same place. Well, you could have said, he could have said, well, it's the same enemy, the same circumstances, I'll do the same thing. But he inquires again. He says, shall I go against them? Yes. Shall I do this? Well, he says, no, wait, you've got to do something different. You've got to make a circuit around. And then you've got to wait until you hear the noise in the mulberry trees. Then you know that I've gone before. There he learned dependence. So obedience and dependence is necessary for us to discern the mind of God. And this is what we've learned here also in our book of Ruth in a remarkable way, and blessings and rest follow from this.